verses 2 to 11. 980 is the page if you're in the church Bibles. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Started at 9:30, so it's super good to be here. But it is good to be here and to be sharing with you as you launch out into, I guess, a new era in mission, both locally and globally. And that's very exciting because I've had people come to me at times and say, "Oh, I've never felt called into mission." And I've sort of corrected them a little bit gently and said in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was speaking to all his disciples when he said, go into all the world. All the world might be Gympie, or it might be Southeast Asia, or it might be Central Asia, or Europe, or somewhere in Africa. But God calls every one of his followers through Jesus, empowered by his Spirit, to go and share the good news. Just as we reflected on in the song earlier, which I hadn't seen before, but I think it's a great song. And I might get the details. My wife is a muso, so she'd be interested in that too. As Ben said, global interaction does not exist anymore. We're now Baptist Mission Australia. And all through Christmas and New Year, I've been saying that over and over again because it's really as easy to say Australian Baptist Mission. No, it's not. It's Baptist Mission Australia. And some of you may remember a previous iteration of the Baptist Australian Baptist Mission called Australian Baptist Missionary Society. Then about 25 years ago, they changed it to Global Interaction, and now we're changing it to Baptist Mission Australia. People are saying, what are we doing that for? There is a reason. It's a reason simply because we believe that in today's day and age, we want to be what we are. We don't want to be a logo. We don't want to be a badge. We want to be tell people who we are and what we're about. We're Australia's, the Baptist Church in Australia, and we're the mission organisation associated with it. The logo has changed as well, as you can see. The idea being that there are a series of arrows all pointing in one direction. The light blue arrow suggests the Holy Spirit, that is the breath of God, coming in and energising each one of us as we go out. The other two lines are in parallel together. The whole idea of Baptist Mission Australia is that we go as servants to the people that we go to, whether they're here in Australia, whether they're in the suburbs, which we're now moving into ethnic ministries across Australia, whether amongst the Australian Indigenous people in Central Australia or out across the world, we go to learn the culture and the language of the people, to go as servants, to walk alongside them, to build long-term relationships, and in doing so, prayerfully seek opportunities to share Jesus with those people. It's pretty simple. And that can happen here in Gympie, and it can happen in the furthest country away. So that's the idea of the logo. If you want to make something else of it, that's okay too. You can do that as well if you like. Turn that on. Here we go. Not turning it on. That's it. We don't write very many letters these days, do we? Although we've been asked along the way to maybe during COVID I don't know whether it was driven by the card companies or what, but to write cards to each other, to encourage each other through some of the darker days. But we don't write many long letters anymore. We don't sort of have the same idea of pen pals. We tend to get to each other by emails, by messages, by tweets, by Instagrams. And so I recently read an article on the radio, where they suggested that would be great to send letters. It's just as an encouragement to people. Send a short letter. Send a letter of greeting. Send a card. Write somebody to somebody just to encourage them. We all enjoy being encouraged. None of us like the comment, well, that was a really good job, but, because what does the but mean? The but means sort of, it was a really good idea at the time, maybe, but something's changed. Michelle, thanks for reading that passage to us this morning. It's that Philippians, the letter to the church at Philippi. You may remember Philippi because Paul was thrown into jail there and there was an earthquake and all the doors swung open and the jailer eventually, who was really afraid that he was going to lose all his prisoners and lose his life because of that, ended up coming to follow Jesus. Philippi is an interesting place. It's pushing the wrong buttons. There we go. Philippi is an interesting place. It was the first place in greater Europe that Paul and his group went in their second missionary journey. They've been across to what we say today is Turkey, Asia Minor, as it was called back then, and their plan was to head north. But remember, you may know the story that Paul had a dream in his sleep at night, and he saw that man from Macedonia, which is over in modern-day Greece, saying, come over and help us. And Paul really took that from God, that here was a call. There were people, clearly, where the Holy Spirit was doing his work already. They needed somebody to go and tell. So they changed their plans and headed west. And at Philippi, they met a small group of people who were meeting on the riverbank of the town. Now, Philippi wasn't a big city. They talks about it as a city, very small, only 2 or 3 kilometres large, probably 10,000 people in it. And there wasn't even a synagogue there. It's interesting because the synagogue required 10 Jewish men. So there weren't even 10 Jewish men in that area. Very few believers. Probably most of them were women. And they met together on the riverbank. And Paul and his group went out on the Sabbath day and met them there. And that was where he met the lady Lydia. And they shared with the group there, and Lydia gave her heart to the Lord as well. Paul didn't spend a long time there. In fact, because he'd been imprisoned illegally, the authorities tried to get him out of the town pretty quickly. And so most of his reactions, or most of his interaction with the church, that small fellowship at Philippi, in the ensuing years between when he'd first arrived there and when he wrote them the letter about 12 years later, had been by reports that he had heard. The wonderful thing about the Philippian letter is that it's such an encouraging letter. Paul's got no gripes with the church. He's got no complaints. He's not telling anybody to put things right. It's a letter of wonderful encouragement. It's a letter of love. It's full of praise and thanksgiving for the church. We at Australian Baptist Mission feel the same way about our Baptist churches across Queensland. For it's the churches who send out the people. You know, I love my job. I really do love my job. I don't go to work. I go to the office because I don't work. I'm enjoying it too much to call it work. I love getting out to churches to encourage folk just like you, to cover in prayer those who are sent and as they go, or maybe even to invest in their work financially. I love to meet and speak with folk who feel God is saying something to them about going themselves, maybe a short-term or long-term work. And I love sharing with folk across Queensland the work that our intercultural workers are doing as they are building relationships and sharing about Jesus in places where Islam rules or Buddhism rules. Our desire is to share what we're learning with you here in the churches who have the responsibility to spread the wonderful good news of Jesus around Gympie and abroad. Now, we at Baptist Mission Australia, genuinely echo the words of Paul. I've changed the words a little bit, introduced instead. He says, I thank you, but this is our thanks to you. Every time we in Baptist Mission Australia think of you and churches like Gympie, we give thanks to our God. Whenever we pray, we make our requests for all of you with joy. For you have been our partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard until now. And friends, I can tell you that it's true. Every Wednesday, our Australian-based team get together on Zoom. And we always finish in prayer. There are prayer points that come through. But almost always, somebody thanks God for those who are our partners as together we spread the good news about Jesus. For it's together that Baptist Mission Australia and the churches within Queensland, within Australia, seek to reach men, women, boys and girls who have never heard about Jesus in a way where they could make a decision to follow him. We thank God for fellowships like this one here in Gympie, for your faithfulness in coming alongside us as we see this happen. Friends, I want to say thank you to you for your investment into Dan and Beck. By the way, I told them that I was coming and they said, say hi and send you their love. They remember you with great fondness. But I'd like to share something with you that's very special. And it really deals with the church fellowship here. Last year, Dan and Beck had come back on their home assignment, first home assignment, following their first term in Southeast Asia. And because of circumstances beyond their control, their financial target was enormous and had been hit by COVID. And basically, they'd received a lot of cash donations at the beginning of their term, which were not going to be available to carry them through. So they were really, it was almost 50% of their target that they were seeking. It was very difficult for them to get out to churches because of COVID. And we'd spent a lot of time in prayer, particularly as the time came for their scheduled return to Southeast Asia, and they were well down on their support. Then a miracle occurred, and I am absolutely convinced it is a miracle. In about 2 weeks, a period of about 2 weeks, in about September, August to September last year, I had phone calls from no less than six Queensland churches inquiring about investing financially through Baptist Mission Australia and Global Interaction Workers. And I was able to direct them to Dan and Beck. Imagine the encouragement it was to them to hear about these churches. And of course, Gympie Baptist was one of them. You were part of the miracle. Very quickly, Dan and Beck and the family reached 90% of their target, which was where the Baptist Mission Australian Board permitted them to go back to Southeast Asia. Friends, it's absolutely true when I say that you are a direct link for them being there right now. And so we do say thank you. They've almost reached the 100% target now. They only require six more partnerships of $50 a month to reach their target. And we're really excited because that doesn't normally happen when people go back to a country. But we're seeing people giving and new people coming on to support them. And pretty soon we're confident they'll be at the 100% and free of any financial concerns that they may have, which allows them then to get on into the new roles that God is opening up for them. But did you know that Dan and Beck don't actually work for Baptist Mission Australia? None of the intercultural workers do. Rather, they are sent people. They're sent by Baptist churches to go. Now, Dan and Beck's home church is Beacon over at Ipswich, but then there are a number of other churches like Gympie Baptist who come in, and there are individuals and families who come in and pray for them and financially invest into them as well. I'm still working on it. Baptist Mission Australia deals with the recruiting and the acceptance as candidates, their training, their assisting in financial and prayer encouragement. We conduct all the travel procedures for them. We take responsibility for them in country. We look after them when they come home on home assignment, deal with their orientations, all of those sorts of things. We provide training and mentors, but they don't work for Baptist Mission Australia. They are volunteers that are supported by the churches in prayer and financially. And so we thank you for your help in the gospel. Within Baptist Mission Australia, our desire is to see vibrant faith communities following Jesus in their own distinctive ways. It's very hard to build a building like this somewhere in places in Asia. Not because they may not build buildings like this, but simply because it becomes too obvious who they follow. And that can end up in having folk removed from their communities. We don't want that. We want their witness about Jesus in changed lives to stay. So we say to them, here is God's word. We'll teach you about Jesus and what God's word is about. But you make the decision on how you express that within your local community. Isn't that what we do here? All of us come up against various aspects of life and how we deal with people, what our honesty is about, all those sorts of things. And the Australian community might say, it's okay to do this. But we might say, but I follow what the scriptures say, and I believe God says it's not okay to do that. All of us have to make up our minds at times in how we're going to apply God's word to our lives. And that's what we encourage with these folk. Everyone deserves to know that God loves them and desires a relationship with them. That's why we go. That's why we enable folk to go from churches like this and elsewhere. And who will share their lives with those who have never experienced Jesus in a way where they may choose to follow him if people don't go? Whether it's overseas or whether it's here in Gympie, it's only through spirit-led people where one can make sense, humbly contextualising the good news of Jesus in every place. And by contextualising, I mean making sense of the message. Putting into the language of the people in which we move amongst. Talking to them, sharing our faith with them in ways that they will understand. Not putting all the religious connotations or religious ideas or all that sort of thing. How do we speak to people in ways that they understand? How do you speak to your workmates? How do you speak to the other students at uni? How do you speak to your neighbours or your family about things of Jesus? How can you build relationships that will allow you to enter into people's lives in a very natural way so that they end up sharing their lives with you? And it gives you opportunities then to say, could I be praying about that problem that you've got? I'm a member of a model train club, and it's a great outlet. I like model trains, but they all know I'm a Baptist minister, and it's amazing as I build relationships over many years that I've been a member there, when we might be playing away with trains looking like big boys with toys. Every now and again, somebody, one of the, usually a fellow, will sidle up to me and say, hey, Bob, how are you going? And we start talking. And the Spirit of God creates a situation where some of them might have had one recently where a fellow said, no, my mum's not doing well. Put down the handset of the train set, turn around and give him my concentration. Listen. Give him my time. And after he has shared, clearly he's come to speak to me because he knows I'm a minister. Maybe he doesn't know what that has to do with anything, but there's somebody who's going to listen. And having built that relationship over a long period of time, to be able to say, hey, would you like me to be praying about this over the next few weeks? What's your mum's name so I can be praying for her? Do you know what? I ministered in the Australian Army for 36 years, and now I just minister in the community. I have never had anybody ever refuse me permission to pray for them when I ask. Build relationships. You can do it here in Gympie. We can do it in Southeast Asia. We can do it anywhere. Contextualising the gospel. Showing folk how relevant Jesus is in your life needs to be shared with others in ways that they can understand. And that's what Dan and Beck do. They prayerfully seek to build relationships with those around them. That was the whole purpose of the cafe, to work with those who were the staff that were there, the chefs and the waiters, etc. Build relationships with the community of those who came. COVID has really knocked that cafe and its business around. I'm sure you're aware of that through the letters that they've sent, that even during COVID they were able to do a lot and keep the cafe open and serve the local communities, even at times taking takeaway meals to the local hospital to support the medical staff there. But there are people in all through our community that are open to hearing about Jesus. It's the same in Gympie. We can prayerfully build relationships with family members, with workmates, with neighbours and others. We can ask God that we will have sensitive ears and hearts to find opportunities to offer to pray for someone in trouble, or maybe to offer practical help and support for somebody who's hurting. We get alongside people, we walk beside them, just like Jesus did when he walked on this earth. You know, it's a little side issue, a little side point. If you read through the Gospels and you read when Jesus performed the miracles that he performed, most of those miracles happened as a result of an interruption. You think about it. Maybe this afternoon, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and go through the Gospels and look for those. Jesus was interrupted from the program that he was involved in, and the miracle occurred, lives were changed. How do you deal with interruptions? Do they worry you? Do they concern you? Or do you have a sense where you're open to those interruptions because maybe God is in the middle of that interruption, in the life of that person that is coming to you to talk about something? You can do that too. Exactly as Dan and Beck are doing, you can do that here in Gympie as you share your stories about Jesus with those around you. Not just Bible stories, I mean, but how Jesus makes a difference in your life. That's what mission is about. Paul had met the Philippian Fellowship of Believers these many years before, and that's where he came to write this letter. Most of the connections he'd had had been through these reports, but these reports had been good reports. He was looking to the church and wanting to encourage them. And so he wrote, "I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Hey, we're all looking for the day when Jesus is coming. But there's work to do before that. Right now. Do you know God continues to do this in Gympie today? God has started a good work in you and among you. And like Paul, we can be certain that Jesus will continue to that good work until he comes again. But what is that good work? What is it that will set us apart from those around us, that will make us different, will make us attractive to others? Let's have a look at verse 9 and 10. But this is the Message version, because I think it says it really well. Paul writes, "So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only have love much, but well." That's quality love. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life. Circumspect, that means watchful and discreet. And be exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of. Bountiful in the fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Hey, it's pretty wordy, but what a wonderful passage that is as it opens up. It's like a flower blossoming. Those fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness and the self-control. They're the fruit of the Spirit. That's what sets the person, the follower of Jesus, apart from the community around us. Not to be goody two-shoes, but to have that genuine, circumspect relationship with people. That's how we find that it tells us here. That's how people will be attracted to Jesus through us. Honestly, friends, that's what Dan and Beck and our other intercultural workers around the world seek to be and to do. To live genuine lives before those they live among. And then let the Spirit of God do his work. One of the things we desire for those who pray and support the intercultural workers is for you to build a warm relationship with those you support. It really is a team effort. And our intercultural workers are very conscious of that. I know some of you will already be receiving the Just Next Door notes from Dan and Beck and their prayer updates, shooting arrows, they call it. But if you don't, I'll have a display out afterwards, and you're welcome to put down your name and your email address, and I'll make sure that you receive those if you'd like to keep up to date with what they're going on with all the changes. And finally, just to fill you in on the latest news, and Randall did a good job of that a little earlier. The cafe that they have been managing, they've decided to close. But in their latest letter, I just want to read to you a couple of the sentences from it, because it says it so well. As is the case with all seasons, we feel, Father, bringing the season of the current cafe to an end. Over the past month, we've felt Him confirming this over and over. A year ago, we didn't feel peace about it. The time was wrong, but now peace has come and the time feels right. We still have a passion for hospitality and believe the Father still wants us to remain in the area of business here in Southeast Asia. When we look to the future, we still see a cafe with a kingdom cause, although it does look somewhat different to how the current has always been run. We have a passion to reach into the community even more where our Father has placed us. So we're revising the core business model and working on ensuring that our core values are deeply ingrained in the foundations of the business. We are excited for the opportunities ahead. That's exciting, isn't it? So we thank you for your support and encourage you. I'm sure Paul would do if he was here. Encourage you to continue that support. Continue the communication with them. Pray for them, because it's then where the Holy Spirit can go ahead and do that work. Friends, Pastor Ben has explained to me your desire to reach out in 2022 with the good news to the folk of Gympie and far beyond. That's so exciting. And today we've been thinking about the beyond, outside of Gympie. But one of the things within Baptist Mission Australia is we're learning these wonderful ways that God is working and bringing those, translating them, bringing back to Australia and being able to do those same relationship exercises to build our relationships with people here in Australia. The Bible principles we've been thinking about are just the same, whether it's in Southeast Asia, whether it's in Africa, wherever it is, because they're built on God's word. Again, I want to thank you so much for your fellowship in the gospel and your investment into Dan and Beck. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father God, we desperately desire our friends, relatives, workmates, neighbours, that they would know, just as we sang in that song earlier. But when we actually get to do something like that, we so often feel that we've let ourselves and we've let you down. Please give us the ability, the strength, the power, the knowledge, the understanding to be able to share Jesus in ways that is contextual to the people around us, ways that they will understand. Maybe to be able to use their language, be able to share just naturally as friend with friend why we follow Jesus. Give us a burden for this town. Give us a burden for the people who don't know you. Thank you too. I thank you, Father, for the encouragement that this church fellowship is to Dan and Beck and to Baptist Mission Australia more widely. I ask your blessing upon them. Bless Ben as he teaches and others who teach. May this place become a lighthouse, a beacon in the community, to where people know they can go when they are seeking something extra. Why? For the glory of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If the musicians would like to come up now, we've got one more song to sing. I guess when we think of all that God has done for us, all that He's done in the world, I hope that the cry of our hearts ends up being something like, Jesus, thank you. So let's stand together and sing that now.